Peter chapter 5. My bad. 2 Peter chapter 3. Terrible song. Verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow, enlarge, because that's what a kid does, right? When he or she grows, they get bigger, they grow. But grow, get bigger in the grace that God sends to us. The grace and get bigger in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To know Jesus is to love Jesus. And you can't love Jesus without knowing Jesus, without the Word. To Him, it is truthfully said, be the glory both now and forever and to the day of eternity. Leaving the first love was the problem at Ephesus. Oh, Jesus said, you've got this stuff down. Y'all can do the right things, but you've forgotten why you're doing it. Get back to it. Jesus said, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Do not let it be said of this congregation that we have left our first love. Do not have Jesus say about this church, you have left your first love. Do everything that you do in word or deed, Colossians 3:17, do everything in word or deed by the love of Jesus Christ, so that you too are indeed of the family of God in sharing everything as a family member. A church that is asleep, a saint that is asleep, there is a lack of evangelism and good works. A lack of evangelism and good works. Well, I have to believe, because I've seen evidence of it, this church is about good works. We've got that down. And that only happens because of your good heart. But the idea of evangelism, we need to pray every day. I'm serious. Please pray every day that people are led to a Bible study, led to this congregation on the Lord's Day to hear preaching. Let people understand and know that Jesus wants them. God wants them. And to tell you the truth, the meaner the person is, the more that they know that they want Jesus. You ever met a crass person? They want Jesus. You ever met a person that doesn't speak very well? And I'm not talking about grammar. Perhaps he uses abusive, cursive words. That person is needing Jesus Christ, and they know it. Their life is not filled. There's a tremendous hole within them. The complacency that a church or a saint might experience is one in which, ho-hum, I'm going to church now. Here I am at church. There's a meme, which is a word I found out a few years ago, a meme. I like saying that word, meme, M-E-M-E, meme. And it was like, meh, not such a big deal, right? So that's what young folks are saying these days. Older folks are saying it because it satisfactorily supplies the meaning of the word. Meh. Nothing to it. Not a big deal. I come here and I sit and worship happens to me. It's the other way around, folks. You've got to come here and we're going to sit and we're going to give our hearts outward toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We want very much to awake to the reality of the present spiritual condition and the urgency for living for Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 12. Luke the 12th chapter and verse 40. Luke chapter 12 and verse 40. Jesus says, Luke 12 and verse 40, you, as Jesus is speaking the words, you also, just like the guys in the parable, you also must, that means you've got to do this, you have to do this, and you want to do it because of your heart, you also must be ready. Why? Ready for what? For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I don't know that the Lord's going to come at the next moment. I don't know if he's going to come 100 years from now. I don't know if I'll rise to meet the Lord in the air in my own lifetime. You don't know these things either, but there is an absolute urgency. No one on their deathbeds wants to die alone. No one who is headed toward that final moment of breath wants to be without a Savior. Why? Because it's terrifying. Nobody knows, except saints, what's on the other side of the death veil. Am I just going to cease to exist? Am I going to end up in some horrible place? Is this life the best life that we can possibly grab onto? Not at all. Christians understand that we are blessed among all the people of the earth for our faith in Jesus Christ. We live for him. We live by him. We do the things that he wants us to do because we know who Jesus Christ is. So Ephesians 5 and verse 14 also says this, "Awake, O sleeper," you got to wake up, "arise to life, arise to restored life. Jesus Christ will shine his light upon you. Turn from spiritual death and take after steps of obedience to God." Now, I'm the first one to admit that when you work, sometimes you may be called upon on Sunday morning to work, but if it's a job that calls you out every Lord's Day morning and you do not make worship, I'm telling you, for your soul's sake, listen to me, for your soul's sake, get a new job. You can't go through life without worshiping God. You must find a way to worship God. And that's why many people, many churches, have two services. One for those who work in the morning, one for those who may be working in the evening, so that everyone has the opportunity to worship God in full knowledge of spirit and truth. So, make sure that you get here to services with a smile on, with zeal, with excitement. Return to fervent prayer and Bible study every day. Perhaps that's one of the things that we might be a little lax at. We go through the day, we're busy, we have details. Even retired people have details and they're busy too. Even retired people go through the same sort of thing that everybody else does. And that Bible study time gets pushed by the side. When you wake up, when your morning routine is over, take 15 minutes. Can you spare 15 minutes for God? Can you do that? He gave his life for you. Can you spare 15 minutes for God? Return to Bible study and to prayer. We need prayers. This congregation needs prayers. That means every soul in it, as you look to the left and look to the right, as you know the people are sitting before you and those that are behind you, every one of us need your prayers. Why? Because life is difficult. It's difficult because we are under the prince of the power of the air, as my friend Dee Dee says. I appreciate her this morning in Bible class. Because of that, we need prayer. Some of us are not well. Some of us are beset by physical problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems, mental issues. We need prayers for strength and for guidance so that the Lord God, our Father, is providing the path that we need to walk on, which he has. We just need to pray. And once again, I think I say this at least two times a month, 18,000 people out there in Bay City, pray that God leads those people to this congregation so that they can hear God's word expressed from the scriptures, of course. Walk in the light, Ephesians 5 and verse 8. If you're walking in light, You're not walking in darkness. And if you're walking in light, that means you're walking in the light of Jesus Christ. And that light of Jesus Christ fills our souls with happiness, fills our souls with joy, fills our heart with all good things that God has intended for us. We need to get back to walking in the light and being conscious of that every moment of every day. Sing songs. Give thanks. Pray once again. Submit to Jesus. Sing, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. Sing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now that doesn't sound too difficult, but that to the Lord thing is kind of sort of difficult. We sing from the heart because we enjoy the songs. I've known of denominational people who come to the churches of Christ and say, "Wow, you people have great songs. The singing isn't bad either. But the songs that you guys sing are awesome." I've heard that many times. Give the opportunity of your heart to sing those songs. Get your time in with Jesus Christ. Redeem the time, Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Redeem the time. The 15 minutes that you do not spend with God is a lost 24 hours. The 15 minutes that you do not spend with God is a lost 24 hours. If you're not spending time with God, you're leaving out the most amazing, completely awesome being in all of existence. Can you get that? Can you understand that? Can you get down into your heart? Can you get that in your mind? Can you say, "That's it. That's what I'm going to do. I want to be with God Almighty." And then get back to the works, the zeal that you had when you first obeyed the gospel. You remember coming up out of the baptismal water and you were excited, you were relieved, you were thankful, you were submitting to God. You said, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." And then 2 weeks later, you're in the congregation, you're sitting, and that zeal of worship is already gone. We need to talk to one another. Now, it's difficult for a preacher to call up everybody, each individual, and say, "Hey, have you spent 15 minutes with God today? Well, here's a thought that I want you to understand." So that's difficult. Difficult for you, because I might be calling you at an inconvenient time. Difficult for me, because that would take most of the day for me to go around and ask you all these questions. So we do a lot of reading. My friends, we have videos on YouTube. We have posts on Twitter, X. We have lots of information on Facebook. We have lots of information on articles. I have a place on Medium.com. It's an article place. You can go there and find lots of resources. Our website has lots, tremendous of resources. So we need to make sure that we are into God's Word. And there's like thousands and thousands of opportunities to find yourself in God's Word and live that Word to the fullest with all zeal. But then arise to Jesus. Let the light of Christ shine on you. Impact others and bring glory to God. Matthew 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Ephesians 2:10, we're made for good works. Verse 8 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, we're saved by grace, and then you get busy doing good works. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Matthew 5 and verse 16, "So that others may see your light and glorify the God of heaven." So here you go. What's that look like? The first thing is that we need to understand is that God's light is a promise. Jesus' light shining on you is a promise by God. And that's got to mean something. That's got to be awesome. That's got to be way out of this world. Fantastic. When we awake and arise, Christ gives the light, renewed strength, joy, clarity, purpose. How many people are sick today because they have no purpose? And I mean internally sick, mentally sick, emotionally sick, even physically sick. I don't know why I'm here. I might as well do away with myself. I have been beaten so badly, nobody loves me, that I have no purpose in life. I might as well do away with myself. I'm so caught up in these addictions that I'm a horrible person. I might as well do away with myself. Purpose. The purpose of God is going to keep you alive and thriving throughout the years and the days of your life. Speak to somebody about the gospel this week. Speak to somebody about the gospel this week. We've got business cards you can pass out. We've got tracts you can pass out. We've got tracts that you can mail to people. I can tell you where to get more tracts. I can tell you where to order tracts online so that you can have your own stash and pass those out as you want to. You can pick out which tracts that you want. Take the time to tell somebody, speak to somebody about the gospel. Even if it just is, come to church with me on Sunday. We need to be doing the Lord's work in this location. Attend with purpose, not habit. Okay, so it's 9 o'clock. It's time for me to get on down to the church building. That's where I want to be. In a couple of weeks, I've got a lesson for you. I've got a lesson for you in a couple of weeks. Was Jesus Christ late to the cross like you are late to services? Right? What is it that you're giving to God when you are consistently late? All right, that's a time for another sermon. Restore family devotion. I don't care if it's just the two of you. Get up, sing praises, pray together, study the Word together, look at God's Word together. Spend some time. It can be that 15 minutes of God that you get up with in the morning. Restore daily family devotion. Remove anything in your life that is the unfruitful works of darkness. I've got this problem, but I can't seem to shake it. Well, tell your brother about that. Tell your sister about that. And let's sit down and see if we can help one another do the things that God would want us to do. Can I turn your attention to Galatians chapter 6, please? Galatians chapter 6. In verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brothers, if anyone has spiritual issues, well, that's not what it says, is it? But isn't that what it means? If anyone is caught in any transgression, any, whether it be mind, whether it be physical, whether it be verbal, if anyone has spiritual issues, you who are spiritual, that are in the groove, so to speak, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And you need to keep watch on yourself, unless you too are tempted. Ephesians 5:14 holds a tremendous amount of information. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine his light on you.